Scripture reading this evening will be from Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
Well, good evening. I'm very, very appreciative of the opportunity I have tonight to speak to you all and to be here. Always good to come back here at Brookley Springs, and I enjoy my time with you all. Hopefully we can say some things this evening that will be beneficial as we begin this new week, as we begin this new year. And so I'd advise you to keep your Bible open to Colossians chapter 2. I want us to consider tonight, as we think about strengthening our lives for Christ, doing what we need to do to be faithful to him and walk according to his will, how do we strengthen our faith so that we're able to overcome whatever comes our way? How can we strengthen our faith so that we are adequately readied to handle any challenge? I think that as we consider these verses in Colossians, we can see some things that'll help us be prepared when the time comes and that need arises. So as we've had read for us, we have Colossians chapter 2. We need to get into the context of these verses, though. So what is being said here? What is Paul telling the Christians here? Of course, all throughout the book, in chapter 2 and the rest of the epistle, Paul is warning that other things that they might think are not in any way superior to Christ. We have things of the flesh that the Jews wanted to have introduced into Christianity that were inferior to Christ. You had philosophies and things that people could come up with in their minds, but again, those were not better than Christ. And so all throughout the letter to the Colossians, Paul stresses the preeminence of Christ and who he is, and how Christ is the only thing we can have our faith in. So later in the chapter, Paul contrasts physical circumcision with spiritual circumcision, and how we ought to be prepared in our hearts rather than just external and in our flesh. And so he contrasts there the physical and the spiritual. When we think about the spiritual things that end up being important for the Christian as opposed to those physical, and one of those spiritual things is, of course, faith. We have to have faith in our lives, and faith is something of the Spirit. We'll see from these verses here in Colossians 2 that spiritual faith and walking according to Christ go hand in hand. In fact, we cannot separate them. We can't have walking with Christ and trying to do what he says without faith in that same person, without faith in that same God. And so we need to have faith as we walk for Christ in this new year, in this new week, every moment of our lives. Continuing as we begin to look at this text, we're talking about walking here. Paul says in verse 6, you've received Christ Jesus, and as you have received him, so walk. And so in the manner that we received Christ, that's the manner we need to walk in faith in him. So the question for us becomes, well, how do we receive Christ? What does that mean to receive Christ? And what was the attitude with which we received him? The receiving here in Colossians 2 implies more than just a feeling or an attitude that we have. It requires and demands an action. The receiving that Paul talks about is the same receiving that happened all throughout the New Testament when people obeyed the gospel. And they accepted Christ as their Savior by doing certain things. They were buried with him in baptism, and they began to live a new life. And so that's how they received Christ. That's how they were receiving Christ all throughout the first century and up until now. And we're to walk in that same way. So how do we need to walk then? What does that mean for us? It means we need to walk not in any other way but how Christ has said, and with the right attitude as well. Think back to when you were baptized, when you obeyed the gospel. Think of what that meant to you. What in that moment, in that day, in that night, you were feeling. We ought to walk according to what God has said. Yes, but the attitude is also important in how we do it. Because when we were baptized, I'd imagine, speaking from my experience, what those of us who were baptized would feel We feel excitement, we feel joy, and we feel a readiness and an eagerness to start living how we've known and how we've been taught and how we've learned. And here we've been baptized and we've obeyed, become a member of the body of Christ, and we're ready to live that way. There's eagerness there, there's joy there, there's excitement that's inherent in such a transformation. And when we think about receiving Christ and walking in Christ, I think we need to walk and receive him with that same enjoyment and that same eagerness as when we were first baptized, as when we were first a member of the body. That's how we ought to walk in him. And we'll see as we go throughout this lesson that faith and walking with joy and with eagerness also go hand in hand. Think of the examples that we have. We have the Philippian jailer and how he received the gospel. We have all the people on the day of Pentecost who they were convicted and they acted with eagerness and with readiness because they knew they had to do something. We need to walk through faith in the same way. And so then, as we've received Christ, and as we know we need to walk in this way, we get to what we really want to spend our time on this evening, which are these three steps, because Paul lays it out so simply for us in these three ways in which we can strengthen our faith, these three avenues with which we can go from simply being a new Christian to being a Christian who is strong in the face of whatever life brings along. And so this evening I want us to look at each of these phases, each of these steps, and think about how we can apply them to our lives and how we can grow from one step to the other. Growth, to begin with, is a must for Christian life. We can't not be growing. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as Paul has a lot to say on this issue, and he's addressing the church in Corinth here. He's saying, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people, but to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you weren't able to receive it, and even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like men? And so Paul here condemned the people in Corinth who were not growing. They had received Christ maybe, but were they walking with that same eagerness? Were they walking with that same excitement and that same passion for Christ? They weren't. And so Paul told them, you got to. You have to make this transition. You have to start walking and growing in Christ. And so we can't simply be stagnant in our faith. The church in Laodicea, because they were lukewarm, was condemned as well. And they were told, you need to start working. You need to start growing. You need to start advancing in your faith. We can't keep our faith at a standstill from the time we're baptized to the time we die. We're not going to be an effective Christian for God. Are we meeting our need for spiritual growth? Am I meeting my need for spiritual growth in my life? We need to be thinking about that each day as we go by. Are we doing what we need to do to increase our faith, to continually grow in Christ? And so we get to verse 7 here, in chapter 2, and the questions become, are we rooted in Christ? Are we building ourselves up in Christ? Are we established in Christ? Those are the questions that really define our faith. They show whether we're having a faith characteristic of a strong Christian or a faith characteristic of one of the ones who Paul was addressing to the Corinthians who are stagnant and not growing in their faith. So these are the questions I want us to address the next few minutes. The first step is one that we all have to take, and we all have taken if we have been baptized into Christ. We have to be rooted in him. Paul refers to it here in the past tense. He's saying, you've been rooted in Christ, and so there's things after that you need to do. But the first step you have to take is to be rooted in Christ. You have to have your faith rooted in something to begin living in a different way, to begin living with a purpose and with a goal in mind. We have to have our roots, and spiritually speaking, in Christ. Without Christ, it's impossible to be properly rooted, and it's impossible to live a life that's pleasing to God. Roots need to be cared for. If we think about what roots are, think about what Paul is saying here to the people in Colossae, to the Christians here. We know what roots are. We know how they work and what their use is. And no matter how strong roots are, if the rest of the tree or the rest of the plant isn't taken care of, it's going to die. If the rest of the tree, if the leaves don't receive sunlight and photosynthesis can't occur, the tree's going to die, even if the roots are so strong. And so when we think about having our roots in Christ, yes, that is the first step, and we have to make that the first step, but we also have to do more. And so that's what we'll get into in a few minutes, the building up and the establishing. But our roots have to be solid to begin with before we can even get to that step. What are some characteristics of roots? We think that they're necessary, of course, for any plant or any organism, like a tree, to survive. But what are some characteristics about a root? Have you ever tried to pull out a plant and the roots are still in there? You're not going to make any progress. Even if it's just a small flower, you pull it up and you can see all the roots that go down into the ground. You might say, I would never have imagined that there would be so many roots connecting this little flower. Well, if you advance to something like an oak tree, if you try and pull an oak tree out, even if you have all the tree gone and it's just the stump left, you're not going to be able to pull that tree out. You're not going to be able to remove that stump because the roots are too deep and the roots are established in the ground. Like physical roots are, our faith in Christ has to be so firmly established, so part of our being and our character, that without Christ, we couldn't even imagine what to do. Without the roots of Christ, our lives would fall over. We wouldn't have any support. We wouldn't have any way of standing. So our roots have to be deep in Christ. And effort needs to be put forth into keeping those roots strong, keeping them taken care of, keeping them firm in the ground so the tree can survive. Our roots can only be in Christ Jesus. Again, you don't see a tree that has one root going to this other tree and one root going over here. You have a tree and then you have the roots that go straight down there and they support usually the one tree. And so our roots can only be in one thing. So we have to decide, are our spiritual roots, how we're rooted in Christ, are we in Christ or are we out of Christ? Because those are the two options that we have. In Ephesians 3:17, if you'd like to turn there, Paul had a prayer. Ephesians 3:17, he says, as part of his prayer here, which goes much more than just verse 17, but part of this, what we're looking at, he says, he wants that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so Paul's prayer here, in another one of his letters to the Ephesians, he wanted them to be rooted in Christ so that they could comprehend spiritual life. So many people in our world try to have an understanding of spiritual life. They try to have a knowledge of what it means to be saved, what it means to know God, what it means to be living towards heaven. But if their roots aren't in Christ, they won't understand and they cannot understand. We can only ever know what we need to do and how we need to be established in Christ if our roots are in Him and Him alone. We can't have two sources of faith. Also in Ephesians, Paul talks, of course, in chapter 4 about that one faith that Christians belong to. There's not several, there's not all these different options, but there's one faith that is from Christ and for living in Christ. We can't have one foot in the world and one foot in Christ when it comes to our roots in Him. Our roots have to be in just Christ alone. So we might have to make decisions in our life. Are we going to choose Christ or things of science that do not apply to His Word, that do not correspond with His Word, and that aren't accurate if we really examine them? We might have to choose between comfort and living a Christian life. We might have to choose between having things we want and not having things because we're serving Christ. And those choices all come down to where we have our roots. Are we rooted in Christ, and is that how we make our choices, and is that how we are established, or are we making our decisions according to something that's not Christ? And if that's the case, then our roots are not in the right place. Our roots need to be strong in Christ, and we need to be immovable in Him. Think of 1 Corinthians 15:58. We ought to be immovable, and it's not because we're strong, it's not because we are so powerful to be able to stand against the world. It's because our root, who we're rooted in, He's the one who's strong. He's the one who gives us strength. And so only in Christ can we have strength. Only in Christ can we have our faith. And that's the only way that we'll be able to stand. And that's the only way that our faith will be able to be established. So we need to be rooted in Christ and Christ alone if we're to have the beginnings of life as a Christian. And again, this step happens when we're in Christ. Everyone who has been baptized has at least some knowledge. They know, I know who Christ is, and I know what he did for me. That's the most basic. And I know that I have sin that needs to be corrected. And so that's what we're rooted in. But of course, we need to be growing continually. And so we've been rooted. Now note the second step. Now we get to this building up. Because Paul wants us to not just be content with our roots, but to be building up a spiritual house for ourselves. Think of a foundation for a moment. If you have a foundation, just like you have other examples and other things, if you have a foundation that's perhaps the size of this room, and it's the most perfect foundation you can make, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's as good as contractors can do, would you build a nice building on top of it, or would you build a small wooden shack? Well, of course you wouldn't build the shack because that doesn't fit the foundation that was built. But I wonder how many times in our lives we're building a house of faith that does not in any way correspond to the strong foundation that we ought to have in Christ. Because our houses built on Christ should be strong and able to be defended and immovable, as Paul talks about. We need to be building on the faith that we're rooted in. We need to be building continually. We ask then, how can we do this? How can we make sure I'm growing? How can I make sure that I'm living for this growth? And our answer is, quickly as we see that we're rooted in Christ, we're also being built up in him. We're not being built up in any other way. We've not been established in Christ, and so now we're doing things our way and building ourselves up our way or the world's way. We're still building up ourselves in Christ. And so the answer has not changed. Enemies of the gospel, as Paul was dealing with here in Colossians, they're going to try to erode the foundation. They're going to try and tear down the building that we're making. And our job is to avoid that happening. Our job is to remain firm in Christ. The challenge for us is to continue building despite opposition, to continue building and laying stones in stones of faith in our spiritual house, despite what everything is thrown at us. And so what does the building up of our faith require? First of all, we've got to have perseverance. If we're building up, if we're thinking about a process, we have to have perseverance to make it happen. Think about any task you've ever done in your life. Have you ever done a good thing that's taken effort, that hasn't taken perseverance? You have to have that ability to push through adversity, to push through obstacles, and to then complete the work. And as we think about our houses in the faith, we have to have perseverance. One thing for us to note, we're never going to get to a point where our spiritual house is complete. I'm never going to lay the last stone and think, well, I've done everything I can possibly do to strengthen my faith, and so I can just sit in the house I made. No, we're always going to have more we can do. We're always going to have more stones that we can lay to strengthen our spiritual faith. And that takes time. When we die, the goal that we should have, either when the Lord comes again or we leave this earth, our goal should be for our house of faith to be as strong as it can possibly be. And that will live as a legacy to our children and to people we've come into contact with in our lives. That will stand because of the life we lived for Christ. And so it takes perseverance. It also takes effort. Think about Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We don't hear things and obey those things by accident. It takes conscious effort. Building up of our spiritual house takes effort. Think of Noah in Genesis chapter 6. He was building his ark by faith. We build our spiritual houses by faith, the same faith in God. And despite all the wickedness around, Noah succeeded in what he was doing. Are we dedicated to building up our faith like Noah was dedicated to building that ark? Think of the time that it took him to do that. It took years. And all throughout, you might imagine that people were saying, Noah, is it really going to rain? Is it really going to do what you say it's going to do? Are you really trusting in this God to complete this task that seems so crazy and seems so ludicrous that you're wasting your life over? You think Noah faced things like that? I think it's likely. But despite anything that he might have heard or experienced or fought against, he completed the ark. He did what God had told him. He completed his ark by building through faith. If a story comes along that gives us pause, or we read something in the Bible and we don't immediately know how to explain it, is that something that's going to destroy our house? Or is that going to push us to say, I need to do some more work on this. I need to add another stone of faith to my house. Every obstacle that we have should be taken to strengthen our faith as opposed to destroying our faith. And that's up to us to choose which we're going to allow an obstacle to do. Are we going to allow something to make us or break us, as the saying goes? Regardless of anything the world throws at us, our goal should be to keep building a spiritual house. Even if we're having a rough week, even if we're having a rough year, even if we don't have answers that we might want to have, God asks us simply to keep building onto our faith, going from one stage to the next in a process of growth so that we'll be approved before Him. And that's something that all of us can achieve, even if it doesn't seem achievable. If we're not building our spiritual house, we're going nowhere with our faith. We have to be growing. We have to be gaining, or we're losing. And so Paul wants us to be rooted in Christ. He wants us to be built up in the same person of Christ. And then we get to this third step. We get to the establishing. We get to the strengthening, as I think the ESV renders it. The strengthening of our faith. Are we ready to take the next step in our growth? I don't know how long everyone in this room, if you've become a Christian, how long you've been a Christian. But there comes a time where we have to go from the milk of the word to the meat, as Paul was talking about. We have to go from the simple things to the more advanced things so our knowledge can become more, so our faith can grow. We need to take the next step if we're ready to take the next step. We can't just sit around and say, I'm comfortable with where I am. I don't need to grow anymore. I can't do anymore. No, we need to be pushing ourselves to say, how can I grow this year? How can I grow through this event? How can I become stronger in the faith? And Paul talks here about being established in it, this end goal that we should want to attain, where we're comfortable defending our faith, we're comfortable having our faith strengthened against all odds. Nehemiah, in that book, he had to finish the wall, but as he was building the wall, he took steps to defend it. Nehemiah wasn't done with the task, but even as he was building that wall, he was working to defend it. He had people standing day and night at the ready so that if there was an attack, they would be more than ready to deal with that attack. They would be more than ready to defend the wall around the city. As we're building our spiritual houses, we might need to defend it. In fact, we probably will need to defend it. And we need to be ready in that situation to defend our house as we're building it so that it's not torn down, so that the work isn't in vain. We need to be able to defend our belief in God, our faith in the word that he left us, his character, in his promises. People are going to attack every one of those. People are going to say, did God really do that? Did God really say that? Can you believe in God to begin with? We have to be able and willing to defend against people who try to destroy our faith. That takes a strength and establishment that Paul's talking about here in verse 7. We need faith that's unable to be shaken by suffering, that's unable to be moved by difficulties that we face, by arguments that the world comes up with, because nothing, again, is above Christ. Christ is preeminent over all, and we can always find a way to defend our faith through Christ. We have examples in the Bible and in our personal lives of people. I know people, and you know people, who just seemed like giants in the faith, who just seemed like great men and women who you think, how could I ever attain that? How could I ever have that level of faith in God, despite all the things they might have gone through? Instead of viewing that as an obstacle, look at verse 7 again. We're to be established in the faith as we've been taught. I think of Timothy as he was taught from his mother and grandmother. He went on to become this helper of Paul and this great worker in the kingdom. He definitely strengthened his faith. He wasn't sitting around and just waiting for change to happen. He was making that change. He was growing his faith. And he had people in his life who were good examples, but he didn't just rest and say, I can't get to what they're at. I can't know what they know. I can't be as faithful as they are. He went there. He grew himself. And so if we have examples in our lives who we might think, I could never reach that, we should think again, because we can grow and build our faith in their example, in their stead. We can think instead of an obstacle as an opportunity to grow our faith and to build our faith because we've seen someone else do it, because we know this person went through all sorts of problems and they still remain faithful. And so that should be encouragement for us that we can strengthen our faith. We can establish our faith, as Paul says. So we think about this more. Think of the very meaning of the word establish. It means to confirm, to guarantee, to be sure. When we think of something that's established, it's a fact. It's an established fact. It's something that we can rely on, we can trust on, we can depend on. Can we proudly say, even in the most difficult time in our life, my faith's guaranteed. I guarantee I'll be faithful. That might seem a tall order for us. That might seem something difficult. But shouldn't that be the goal for us? Shouldn't that be the goal in our lives, to build our faith to the point where we can guarantee that we will remain faithful to God no matter what the world throws at us? That should be our goal. Is our faith strong enough to live by these words? We might say it, and saying it's one thing, but living it's something else. Are we able to live by the words that I guarantee my faith in God is sure? Do we live that way? And if we aren't, that needs to be our goal. We need to remember the work that Nehemiah did, the work that we have examples of all throughout the New Testament, the work that others had in our lives. We need to take on that work for ourselves and grow our faith and not be dissuaded. We see the end result now. We have the three steps, but how do they come together to create a good Christian life? How do they come together to produce growth? We see the end of verse 7. We see the steps, see as we've been taught, and we're to abound in it with thanksgiving. We're to be abounding. By the end of this process, by the end of this growth that we're laboring for, by the end of our Christian lives, we should not be floundering. We should be abounding in the work of Christ. We shouldn't be resting on our laurels or anything else. We should be abounding. And Paul says, Christ through Paul, to do it with thanksgiving, to not do it grudgingly, to not do it like, oh, I've made it all this way. I've finally reached what I wanted to reach. I've finally done what I wanted to do. No, we should be abounding and happy about it, abounding and thankful. We can relate the thanksgiving that we're supposed to have at the end with the thanksgiving that we had when we first believed, when we first obeyed, that excitement that we had when we were first Christians. Paul wants us to have that same joy and eagerness to begin our life as a Christian all the way through and to the end of our lives as a Christian. And so that should be our goal. We should have thankfulness that is unable to be contained, that's just overflowing from our lives because we're happy that our faith is secure. The more our faith increases, I think the more reasons we find of being thankful to God. Have you thought about that any time? The more we realize what God has done for us and what Christ has done for us, the list we have of things to be thankful for only grows because we can be more and more sure of what he's done for us. We can be thankful that he's provided Christ to be our foundation. God hasn't sent us into this world with nothing to have our root in, with nothing to rely upon. He's given us Christ. He's given us the solid foundation that we can build our Christian lives on, that we can build our houses of faith on. So he's given that for us, and that's something to be thankful for. We can be thankful that he's provided evidence for his existence. Again, he's not left us with nothing to defend against the attacks that he knew would come through his providence and through his wisdom. He hasn't left us with nothing to counter that. He's left us with evidence. He's left us with the world around us, with history, with all sorts of things that help prove who he is. So we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful that his promises in the Bible always came to fruition if the person who was on the other end of the promise did what they were supposed to do. And so that we can be thankful for, Because if we are living a life of faith, if we're building our houses of faith, we're strong in that, God's going to fulfill his side of the promise. God's going to do what he said he was going to do. And so there are so many things that we can be faithful for, or thankful for, rather, for God, because we're living through faith. Our faith enables us to be thankful, like Paul talks about here in verse 7. So our faith needs to follow these steps. We need to work on being rooted. And if we've already been into the body, we've been baptized into his death, become a member of the body, we've already been rooted. And so we can't stop there. We need to say, how do I build myself up? How do I build my faith up? How do I establish my faith? How do we get to the third step? And eventually, we need to be so living the Christian life that we look back and say, we've been abounding through all these things. We've been abounding through what Christ has done for us. And that is the blessed way that a Christian should be able to get through life. So as we look at how we take this from Colossians and put it into practice in our lives, how do we do this? Do we have faith in God? Do we have faith that he can change our lives, that he can make a difference, that he can grant a better way of living? Do we have faith in who he is? We need to have faith in who he is and what he's promised, and we need to build our faith day by day. Add to our house, add stones each day that show that we're committed to Christ, that we're committed to strengthening our faith in him. Do you have faith in the imitation of Christ? Christ's imitation is a promise that he's given, just like his promise of anything else. It's a promise that's going to happen because Christ said it's going to happen. He's offered an invitation for us that anyone who is weary, anyone who has need, and we all have need, can come to him and change our lives and begin building our house of faith. He's offered that for everyone. And so for us today, I encourage you, take the next step. If you're at one point in your faith, take it to the next level. Do something else to strengthen your faith. Work on, in this new year, this new decade, not being content with where you're at now, but wanting to grow your faith so that we can be more approved unto Christ, so we can be approved at the judgment. That should be our goal as Christians. If that step is to go from being rooted to simply building up, that's good. That's a step we need to take. And if that next step is going from building up to being strengthened and starting to defend our faith against attacks, that's the next step we need to take. So whatever it might be, there's always something we can do to add to our faith. There's always something we can do to become more who Jesus wants us to be. So now we have the invitation offered to us, and if we need to make the first step or if we need to go to the third, we have the opportunity now as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from